Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
It is so nice to know I am not alone, and wow, have you let me know that I am not alone when it comes to being tricked or fooled by the media when it comes to the hot temperatures that we're enduring this week. And yes, it is a hot August week, but man, the emails and feedback from all of you has been overwhelming. Many of you doing your own research. We'll feature some of that coming up in just a few minutes with a couple of emails that were sent to me. And then Gary Lezak will join us, longtime television meteorologist in Kansas City and my former co-worker at Fox 4. I was the weekend sports anchor. He was the weekend weather guy way back in the day. He is retired from television, living his best life in Colorado as a new company called Weather 2020. And he is going to put this heat index theory to rest once and for all. Interesting guy, fun guy. We'll have a fun chat with Gary Lezak coming up in just a few minutes. Okay, we got a bunch of topics to jump on right here at the top of the show. The first is something that really crosses party lines, and that is Joe Biden's trip to Maui has been his worst trip yet. The mistakes made there really emphasize so many of the other mistakes he's made in other places, but this time it crosses party lines. This is a heavily Democrat state. It's a heavily Democrat area. Wealthy hippies have flocked to Hawaii for many, many, many years. Many of them certainly much older. This is Vietnam era, 60s protesting left-wing hippies that have, not all. I'm telling you what the voting electorate is here. Some of it is indigenous personnel becoming American citizens that vote left. This is a very, very heavily Democrat state, and wow, are they pissed at their president. There is no question waiting 2 weeks to visit Maui, and then this disastrous trip that we saw has them fired up. Joe Biden took the podium and began, he said, I really don't want to compare, but you know, I had a fire too. It was a fire contained in his kitchen in Delaware that the fire department showed up, and that was it. They contained it to the kitchen. And he made it sound like his wife and his cat were going to die and he was going to lose his 67 Corvette. Nobody's life was ever in danger in that situation, ever, at any point. So he botched that. He should never start telling his own stories. He has no empathy toward people. It is a job of the presidency. We can say it's shallow, whatever we want to say about it. It is a job of the presidency. When bad things happen in your country, like Maui, the entire country feels it. This podcast was probably the first place you heard about these Maui wildfires. The second I saw it, I'm like, oh my God, this is huge. There are still 800 people missing. Many of them, if not most of them, are children who are now believed to just be ashes, incinerated, just stuck in homes. They were sent home from school to empty homes and died there alone. This is one of the most tragic and sad American tragedy stories ever. Mistakes were made. Human error is all over the place. They are not even attempting to blame global warming on this one. So you know that mistakes were made, and they were made by leftists who try to have green energy, conserve water, all of the things you would need to fight a fire or keep a fire from happening were ignored or not deployed during this. It is a debacle in the state of Hawaii. Is it enough to put Hawaii in play? Well, I would say this. If there were a Republican candidate not named Trump, that candidate might be able to win Hawaii. I don't think Trump will be able to, but if it were somebody else, they might be able to win Hawaii in a year. It is a train wreck with people in Hawaii. We have now seen all the memes on social media where they showed Joe Biden at three different memorial services. The first was George Floyd, where he was kneeling and praying, and it looked honorable and he looked serious about it all. The second was at the service for the 13 that died in Afghanistan on the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, where Joe Biden was looking at his watch as if to ask himself, when does this thing end? And then in Maui, we watched him fall asleep sitting down at a table in a cafeteria at a remembrance and memorial for some of the victims. This man is a train wreck. Folks, I'm going to play something that I never envisioned playing. I think you're adult enough to hear it. If not, fast forward about 5 minutes and move on with the podcast. There are five spots in this 2.5 minute clip where this person curses. There are four F-bombs and there's one GD. I'm letting you know what's about to happen. I'm going to play it. And I'm going to play it unedited for one simple reason. This is where the internet is more powerful and social media are more powerful than regular media, than reading something on a screen or in a newspaper or on a television report, or even hearing it from a friend or a discussion with friends that you have over. This is real. This is an outraged American citizen. I don't know who this is. It doesn't matter. There's millions of views of this. You may or may not have heard this. You probably haven't. It's gaining steam and momentum as we go. It is portrayed as a man, obviously, who lives in Hawaii because he's upset about the Hawaii trip by Joe Biden. And he unloads. And there is bad language in this, but this is real. To me, this crosses party lines. I think you'll know by listening to this, this man is a conservative. Okay, he's a Republican voter. But it doesn't matter. When people see this, this is more impactful when you're sitting there alone on your phone, you're going through Instagram or Twitter, and you're surfing through, and you come across this, or your friends are sharing it with you, and you look at this. There is no news report that can do what this does. It is not possible. There's no 30-second clip with a reporter standing there saying, the president today talked about a house fire that he had in Delaware in 2004. There's no report that captures this. I don't know if this guy lives in Maui. It appears he does. It sounds like he does. I don't know. I don't know the man's name. I can't tell you anything about him, but he's smart. He's paying attention. And he has captured what American people are feeling about this president that crosses party line. It's about 2.5 minutes long. If you don't want to hear, if you're offended by language, fast forward it a couple of minutes.
It is almost impossible to believe that this guy, that this old man, this Walmart greeter, this fake installed president, one, why the fuck is his wife with him wherever he goes? We didn't hire this person. I didn't hire you, Joe. You're a traitor. I know what you are. I know what Kamala is. I know what the Democratic Party is. And I know that we have a constitutional crisis of epic proportion. But hearing you talk about your house that, you know, had a little fire, you almost lost your cat and your Corvette. There are children that were incinerated to ash. You fucking old man. You vile human being. The only way you feel you're able to communicate and you have some kind of, you know, you're so out of touch with the common man, you don't even understand how to speak to them. The only way you think you can establish commonality with them is to lie. That the same thing happened to you, no matter what the tragedy is. Your son wasn't killed in action, by the way. Your house didn't burn down. Your children weren't burned to death. How dare you get up there and speak this way? Your job is to go there and assuage them in a way that you talk to them about their loss. That you can't imagine what it's like. That you can't imagine what it's like never to find the bodies of the poor children that were sent home from schools that died alone. Alone. In fear. Without their parent or a guardian. That the most abhorrent thing happened. You're a disgusting, despicable bastard. You're too old. You need to step down from office. Maybe the cackling hyena behind you, maybe she'll rise to the occasion. She can't even form a coherent sentence. This is an outrage, an outrage. It should be, we should just rebuild the goddamn thing the way it was. When you hear the psychopath, the first thing out of the governor's mouth was, oh, we're going to reclaim the land for this or for that. Who the fuck are the people we hire in government? And if there's any truth to the matter that this idiot held back the water, he should be sent down to Guantanamo Bay. Never to be seen again. It's just outrageous how we behave in this country. There's no adults. An event, no matter how tragic, there should be men that are able to rise to the occasion. In 5 seconds, you should know what to do. You should understand the right thing. You almost lost your cat. Go fuck yourself.
Okay, not really my style, but man, did he get his point across. And I think you felt the passion from this person, and you know people like this, and you probably feel this yourself, but would never express yourself in that way on Twitter or any social media or in front of a camera. I wouldn't. I haven't. I have those feelings. I have moments where I want to scream and vent and rant like that, but I don't do it publicly. I don't do it on Twitter. But when somebody that smart, that articulate, makes their case, it is a very powerful thing. And I had to play it for you. Sorry if it offended you, but I had to play that for you. Back to Joe Biden. He's off to Lake Tahoe. He's on vacation once again. He's there through Saturday at a billionaire's home. Trump is apparently surrendering either today or tomorrow, Wednesday or Thursday. It looks like Thursday. Trump will be surrendering in Atlanta for yet another one of these indictments. We'll see what Trump does during the debate on Wednesday night. I'm not that excited about the debate Wednesday night. I only want to spend 2 seconds on this. This is going to be the Vivek Ramaswamy debate. This is only important to Ramaswamy. This debate only matters to him. The only other viable candidate on the stage with Ramaswamy is DeSantis. The rest of them are all clowns and losers, have no shot. I shouldn't say that. Tim Scott is not a clown or a loser. He is not. He's not ready. It's not his time. He doesn't have a shot here. He may wind up being a vice presidential candidate or something like that. They're not all clowns and losers, but there are plenty of clowns and losers up there. The interesting part of this is Ramaswamy is going to be standing right next to Nikki Haley, who is a warmonger, and Ramaswamy wants out of Ukraine. I think there will be a little sparring there. I don't think Ramaswamy is going to attack anyone on stage until they attack him. Then he goes after him. This will be his debate. I predict he will win the debate. People will be impressed by him more at the debate than anything else. And I believe the other candidates will attack him more than DeSantis. That's what I believe. I believe they're all coming after Ramaswamy. He's the only non-swampy guy there. Never held office in D.C. He's the youngest guy in the field by far. There's a lot of reasons they don't like him. He's winning the internet. He's winning social media. With his tennis videos, with his rapping to Eminem, with his workouts with his wife, he's winning it with young people. It's not close. This will be his debate on Wednesday night. And if he fails, if he stammers around and completely fails, this will hurt him for a long and haunt him for a long time. Why isn't Marco Rubio in the race? He embarrassed himself on the debate stage. He sweated. He couldn't really drink water. His hands were shaking. It's hard to come back from that. Debates matter. This one is mostly a snooze fest because there won't be enough Ramaswamy in this for me and DeSantis. It'd be great. Tonight, if it was Ramaswamy, DeSantis, and Tim Scott, I'd be the happiest guy ever. If it was just the three of them, great. Get rid of the other five clowns and let's move on. That's where we are. We shall see. We did a patron podcast on Tuesday about the Royals' two stadium sites that they have selected. They gave renderings and details of the two different sites. If you want to hear things like that when they break, we have a patron program, and the patron podcast yesterday was 30 minutes long. It's essentially 30 minutes of analysis from me on the two sites about what I think and what's best for the city, and I break all that down. If you want to hear it, go sign up. The patron podcast is just sitting there. You can hit play today. You can pause right now, sign up, become a patron, go listen to that patron podcast, and come back to here if you want. It's kksissues.com. It's only $5 a month. We did a complete breakdown of the sites. The headline is this. The downtown site looks cramped. The North Kansas City site looks expansive with a park and a pond and a lot of other things to do. This isn't, at this point, close for me. The North Kansas City site looks best. Here's the issue. Clay County wants to offer the Royals $1 billion. If they offer them $1 billion, they're going to North Kansas City. That's easy. This will require an election, a 1% sales tax. I think over 40 years. Right now, North Kansas City or Clay County residents from an outfit called Bold Decision DC did polling with 300 voters, which isn't a lot, but it's enough. 47% of the people in Clay County support the stadium being in their county. 37% oppose. 15% are undecided. But when you ask them about a 1% sales tax in Clay County on everything that they buy there, 22% support the stadium. 70% oppose it, and 8% are undecided. So those are wildly varying numbers, as you can see, that the Royals are up against. Now, that's before you campaign and show the rest of the details and everything else. I think if they select Clay County, that Clay County will find a way to get that money. I do. I just believe that. I think stealing something from another county always gets more people to vote yes than retaining something you already have. I just do. The other good news on this particular Tuesday is the White Sox are looking at Nashville, which means they're ahead of the Royals on that. If all the stadium stuff takes years, it takes years. The Royals are running out of default positions here. I guess there's Charlotte, North Carolina. Maybe there's some places, but that's no sure thing. Charlotte's no sure thing. The Royals have lost their two best bargaining chips. The A's are going to Vegas, And the White Sox are talking about moving to Nashville. And that takes the Royals off the table for those two places. And that is great news for Kansas City. Again, complete detail of these two stadium sites. If you want to hear it, just join. Please join up and become a patron. I want more people to hear the patron podcast, and I want more people to read the newsletter. I do the work mostly so people will read it or hear it. There is a charitable component that we use the patron podcast for. We support local charities with that. So you know your money's going to good use. Sign up, $5 a month, kkhasissues.com. It only takes 5 minutes. I'd love to have you on board. And when breaking things happen like that Royals news conference yesterday, that's what we do in the afternoons. It's basically like getting a morning paper and an afternoon paper. When we do the podcasts, the patron podcasts, they're almost always in the afternoon for your drive time home or listen to in the evening when you work out or whatever it is you may do. It's always stuff that happens during the day that we jump on. And then I don't cover it as much on the regular podcast like I didn't right here. So I'm not trying to jip you on your Royals coverage here, but we had a plan for today. We're sticking to it. And all of the stadium stuff is in a patron podcast yesterday, kkhasissues.com. $5 a month. I'd be honored if you came on board. Please support the podcast and support local charities and jump on board with the patron program at kkhasissues.com. Click on Become a Patron. Dick's Sporting Goods has had some run-ins in the past, basically with being a little bit liberal, the corporation. I still go to Dick's. They also own Golf Galaxy, which I kind of like. They released some earnings this week. Their sales were up 3.6%. That's nice. That's okay. Sales were up 3.6%, but their profit dropped 23%. Well, how can that be? Your sales are up 3.6. Your profit is down a whopping, I mean staggering, 23%. It is almost exclusively due to theft. Almost every store everywhere is getting ripped off. Now, how can you watch your profits go down 23% and not do something about it? I understand the safety of your employees. I understand so many times you don't want your employees trying to stop someone and getting hurt or causing gunfire or whatever. I get all of that. How are we not finding the technology when somebody walks through the thing and the little whistles and bells go off that a cage doesn't drop down and you're trapped? You can't get out until a security person comes and takes care of it. Why don't they? People are walking in and out the front door. At least make them go back through the warehouse and out the fire escape or something. How are these companies not building, seriously, like cages that will come down? Warning, warning, warning. Here it comes. Down it goes. Building is locked. In fact, drop a cage behind them. Drop one in front of them, one behind them. They're locked up. How good would that be? Why can't you do that? That's a staggering number. 3.6% increase in sales and a 23% drop in profit. Got a couple of sports notes coming up for you and some emails brought to you by ticketsforless.com with a local number for you. Your ticket concierge is ticketsforless.com. 685-3322 is the phone number. Chiefs play the Browns on Saturday at Arrowhead. It's going to be 90 degrees for a high on Saturday. That's a gorgeous day to go to Arrowhead Stadium and see the Chiefs and the Browns. Ticketsforless.com can help. Prices for the preseason are much lower than the regular season. It's a great opportunity to take the whole family out to see the defending Super Bowl champions in action. At ticketsforless.com, you're going to find a great selection of seats. They have big blocks. You want to take a group? They've got 8 in a row, 10 in a row. There's places where you can get 12 in a row. All-inclusive VIP tailgate passes are low prices for all the food and beer you want to drink for 3 hours before the game. No added per-ticket fees on that. And, yes, you can use KKHI as your promo code on everything Chiefs. You will always save 5 to 15% on your Chiefs order at ticketsforless.com. Why wouldn't you do it? Saturday looks like a great deal. Every seat holds a story. Find yours at ticketsforless.com. Window World, simply the best for less, is the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. Got a great email from a gentleman yesterday who redid his entire house with Window World windows. Said he did this a few months ago, but had been delaying sending me the email. He said, "Kevin, the windows are great. Our energy costs are down, even though it's been hotter, right? Our energy costs are down, But I got to tell you, they came and did this all in a day. I was stunned. They came very early and they worked very late. They got all the windows out, all the new windows in. It was remarkable to watch the crew work, and it was very little difficulty for us. That's what it's all about, man. Customer service is number one with Window World. For a free analysis and estimate, just call 816-799-0820. Anywhere in Kansas, Missouri, or Iowa, it's Window World. Simply the best for less. Online at windowskansascity.com. All right, I found the ratings for the Fox Sports. This is Big Fox. This is Channel 4. Not Fox Sports 1, not a cable channel. This is big time affiliates all over the country. The major network, third biggest network maybe in America. Fox Sports, women's final for the World Cup on Sunday. Oh my God. 1.6 million viewers. We got what? 332 million people here. 340 million people. That is fewer viewers. Let me ask you this. Who was on Sunday Night Baseball last week? When was the last time you sat down and watched Sunday Night Baseball? It's a non-Royals game. Maybe you caught a Red Sox-Yankees game. Maybe there's a night where you're like, oh boy, there's nothing on, but this is an interesting game. You watch for a while. Sunday Night Baseball, every Sunday night of the baseball season for ESPN, gets bigger ratings than Fox Network got for Women's World Cup soccer on Sunday for the championship. The World Championship. Let's put this in perspective, folks. 0.048 of America's population watched. Less than one half of 1% of the people in this country watched that Women's World Cup final. Why is soccer all over the media? Why is it on every sports website? Why is it on every local news broadcast? Why is the Kansas City Star constantly writing about the Kansas City Current? Why is this happening? This is a global elite liberal sport. There's no other way to describe it. It's the same playbook as everything else. They shoved something down your throat that Americans don't want. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is the World Cup. And this thing was on at a good time of day, right? Sitting there on Fox. 0.048% of Americans watched the women's final of the World Cup. It is staggering how few people watch and support soccer in this country. If you're waiting for the Chiefs to release a bunch of players, it's not going to happen. Not this week. There may be a trickle. There's a list out there of all the players that have been released in the NFL, and the Chiefs are right at the top of the list of the fewest numbers released at this point. Chiefs only let two players go. It doesn't matter who they are. One was injured. The other just was let go. They're like, yep, that's not going to happen. Chiefs only released two. They've changed the rules this year. You don't have to release your players until next Tuesday. I believe that's the 29th. About 3 p.m. Tuesday is when it will happen. That will be a patron podcast next week. Again, Chiefs will make all their cuts in the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday. And as soon as they're done, I'll analyze that. We'll do the final roster, and we'll do that on the patron podcast on Tuesday afternoon. But there are no cut dates this week. There was no cutting 5 or 10 players right now. You can cut anybody you want, but the Chiefs like to take a longer look. It looks like they watch more players than more teams and have fewer cuts. That's why you haven't heard much of that. The fans, meanwhile, appear to be turning on Chris Jones. There's a lot of stuff out there on social media, people turning on Chris Jones like, dude, you're under contract. You make $21 million. Get your ass to camp and play football. The fans are turning on Chris Jones. It seems like this is a big week. If the Chiefs want Chris Jones to play in the first game and be effective, it seems like he needs to be here this week. That he needs to be on the sideline Saturday for the home game with either a new contract in hand or a handshake agreement that I'm here to play and we're going to keep working on this deal. One or the other. I can now see, I'm not predicting it, but I could see the Chiefs saying, come play, get your money, and just go be a free agent. You're going to be 30 years old. We'll let you play somewhere else. We're going to develop these other guys, and we'll see you. I could see that happening now. They did it basically with Tyreek Hill. I don't think they would trade him. I think they want him this year. I think the Chiefs believe they have an excellent chance to win the Super Bowl this year, And Chris Jones is a part of that. And then it may be time to say goodbye and not overpay him when he's 34 and you don't know how good he's going to be. Maybe that's a bigger part of the equation than we possibly know. All right, on to the emails. Got some good ones here. This one comes from Mike. He emails me all the time. He said, I'm sitting here watching the Little League World Series and the squad from Tennessee. They have a girl on this team by the name of Stella. They call the team Stella and the Fellas. In the Little League World Series, all the players stay in dorms, so they're not around their parents very much. They interviewed the girl's family, and the mom said this has been great. She's been around her daughter for quite a while because Stella's staying in the hotel room with her mom versus the dorms where all the boys stay. What a massive contrast when compared to the gender crapola we see and hear about all over the United States. Mike writes, this story should be the forefront of what it means to be a female, what it means to compete, and what it means to have normal, conservative values. Great. Mike says, I have no clue where the Little League World Series stands on cultural issues, but I applaud their focus in the young lady and a commitment to normalcy. That's awesome. He says, on a side note, this is being broadcast on ESPN. I wish they were paying attention. Way to go, Mike. I'm 100% with you, buddy. I am on your page. From Steve, Kevin, did you see what happened to Fat Bottom Girls? Signed, Steve. No, I didn't. Not until I got your email. And I looked it up. I've mentioned a couple of times the one album I had when I was a kid that my dad absolutely hated. And he destroyed. He grabbed it and just destroyed it. Was an LP, an album by Queen. I was 14 years old. By Queen. And a song called Fat Bottom Girls. When he heard me playing that, he just lost his mind. The album cover was a bunch of naked girls on bicycles pedaling away from you with big fat bottoms. I wasn't thinking about fat bottom girls. Whatever. This news report is out. Legendary rock band Queen's 1978 classic Fat Bottom Girls has become cancel culture's latest victim after the song was dropped from the band's new greatest hits collection for younger listeners. That's it. It's gone. All new greatest hits productions by Queen will not have Fat Bottom Girls on it. Cancel culture has gotten it. How about that? My dad wanted to cancel it because it was offensive. He thought it was sexual and was going to destroy my mind sexually. And here we are, 45 years later, and the cancel culture wants to cancel it because it's not nice to girls with fat bottoms. You want to talk about a pendulum swinging? Wow. And I've only selected a couple here. I heard from Robert, who gave me some stories from the 1980s about how hot it was. Craig sent me a story about 105 degrees at camp one year in the 1990s. I think that was like an outdoor summer camp he was at. And then from Joe, here we go. Great show as always, Kevin. I never miss a day. Two links for you. First is the heat index calculation from weather.gov, relative humidity and temperature. The humidity on Sunday was what drove the index up. The formula at the bottom has changed over the years and is very complicated. Second link is more interesting. In 1936, Kansas City had 53 days over 100 degrees. That's the regular temperature, not the heat index. 1936, we had 53 days. Did we hit 100 yesterday? I don't think we had 100 at KCI yesterday. They're calling for 105 again today. It won't get there. They just keep doing it over and over and over. 53 days in 1936, and he provided a link. Thank you, Joe. You are awesome. Thank you, everyone who emailed me on this topic. Gary Lezak will be joining us in just a moment. He is awesome. That's going to be brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Kansas City's remodeler is Cross Kitchens KC. Whether you need a touch-up with new countertops or flooring, or you want to redo an entire room or level of your house, Cross Kitchens KC is the go-to. Tim would love to sit down with you in person, the owner of the company, ask you about your dreams, talk about the possibilities, and then show you a complete 3D rendering of what it will look like before you decide. What's better than that? 816-898-7047. Remodel with crosskitchenskc.com. 360 Document Solutions is a solution for any business in the Midwest. If you're looking to save money and become more productive and efficient, Mark Lindquist and his team can help you. Whether it's copiers, printers, phone systems, IT solutions, 360 can help you. They're online at 360documentsolutions.com. Folks, Mark's a winner. Most of our sponsors and supporters and listeners are. We have a certain way that we like to do business. We treat people with respect. We show them a great product. We invite them to try things that will help them, and we give them the lowest possible cost. That's 360. Why don't you call Mark personally? He owns the company. 913-745-5344. That's 913-745-5344. Nobody, and I mean nobody, touches their service after the sale at 360documentsolutions.com. And Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at AdvantageTPC.com. I got to be honest with you. Advantage takes care of our critters around here so well, we just don't see them except for the regular service. Occasionally, we may have something. Once every couple, 3 years, we're like, hey, we've got this thing. Can you come take a look? We don't know what it is, or we're here, back at the old house, we had squirrels in the attic. They took care of it. I don't know what it is with my neighbors. I'm thrilled that they use Advantage. I swear Advantage is here every 2 weeks. I don't know whether they're just nutty and calling over nothing or what's going on. I think that's what it is. We don't know them very well. We don't know them very well at all. And it seems it's the neighbor that you're like, you know what I mean? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it's not just Advantage. It's every service company. And I think they call a lot for very little. But you know what? Advantage just comes. They're customers too. They may be a little more high maintenance than the Keatsmans, but they're customers too. AdvantageCPC.com. All right. Gary Lezak is a dear friend. I have known him since the early 90s when we worked together at Fox 4 in Kansas City. I was thrilled to be promoted from sports producer to weekend sports anchor. I sat on the desk, the weekend sports anchor desk, with Harris Faulkner and Gary Lezak. You know what? I'm going to say it right now. It's a pretty damn good newscast. They're pretty good. Harris was the anchor. I did sports. Lezak did weather. That's pretty good. In fact, I'll tell you what I do. I'm not going to make any boasts or claims. I'd invite people to go back and look at those newscasts, compare them to the weeknight newscasts. Yes, I would. We were the young guns, and we've all gone our own way and done our own thing, and it's been remarkable to see where people that I've worked with have gone in their career, and sometimes compare them to the choices that I've made to stay in Kansas City my entire career. I just love it here. My family's here. I can't even imagine doing what so many people have done, and that's move around to advance their careers. This has worked out great for us. We've loved it. One of the true honors of my career was working with Gary Lezak. He is filled with energy. He's a good man. He lives by so many conservative principles and loves America like nobody else. And I thought, let's just dial him up. Let's find out what he's doing with Weather 2020, catch an update with him, and hopefully he will set us straight on what's going on with this new crazy heat index stuff going on. Hit it!
The KK Has Issues conversation is presented by Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head.
All right, so let's get right to the bottom of this. Let's go to my longtime friend, my brother from another mother, honestly, okay, Gary Lezak, who is relocated to the Golden, Colorado area he's not in retirement. He's on Act 2, which is great. I'm on Act 3. His website is Weather2020. And my longtime friend Gary joins us now to help solve all this mess we got in Kansas City. Hello, Gary. How are you, buddy?
Good day. What time of the day it is, I don't know. I guess it's morning. But anyway, good morning. I hope everyone's doing fantastic. I miss Kansas City, but doing great and thriving in Colorado.
So I went on Twitter Sunday night when I watched the lead of the news. Now, we both worked in television news. You worked in it a lot longer than I did, but we've been in media forever. And it was one of the most disingenuous things I've ever seen. I watched 6 minutes of coverage at the top of the news. Doesn't matter what channel, doesn't matter whatever. I'm not going to start picking on people because I don't know how they make their decisions, whatever. They did 6 minutes on record heat index and how we're all going to basically die and stay in your house and water your dogs and do everything. And I'm all for it's August, it's hot, take precautions. I'm all for that. The high at KCI was 94 degrees. What am I missing?
I think it hit 95, so you might be 1 degree off. It's okay. 95, 94, whole point is it's 95 degrees and it was extremely humid. All right. So while this heat wave was building over the middle part of the country and it's still existing now, the hottest days are coming up in these next 2 days, and then hopefully it'll cool off for the Head for the Cure coming up this weekend. Big benefit of Corporate Whiz. Gosh, it'll cool off. It might be some rain on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. But let me just tell you, Kevin, this pattern, this weather pattern has created this heat wave, and it produced the hurricane. We can talk about the hurricane in Southern California, too, if you'd like. I'd love to. But for Kansas City, I spent my whole career trying to explain the heat index. It's not my favorite term. I don't like it at all because I don't think it tells the truth at all. Okay, I love to tell the truth about the weather. That's what I have prided myself on my whole career. And when you say it's a 118-degree heat index, or in Lawrence on Sunday, it was a 134-degree heat index, what does that mean? That doesn't mean it was 134 degrees outside. As you said, you were out in the pool, you're in the water. I listened to your podcast, and, you know, it was, like, comfortable. Of course, you're in the water. It's 85-degree water temperature, perhaps, and the humidity was extreme. So what happens is when it's 118-degree heat index with 95 degrees outside, what does it feel like? It feels exactly like what you said. It feels like 95 degrees, all right? 95 and extremely humid. So we put a number to it. It comes out to 118 degrees in Kansas City, 134 degrees in Lawrence. But what does that mean? That does not mean it's 134 degrees. Believe me, if it were 134 degrees outside, you would feel 134 degrees, and that would be extremely hot.
We would have had deaths everywhere, and the power grid might have exploded. Honest to God, right. If it was 135 degrees, people all over Kansas City would die, and the power grid would be lost. Would it not?
Well, I don't know. People would not die all over Kansas City.
Oh, sure they would.
Well.
Do you know how many homeless people there are?
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
They're not going to make it. They're not going to make it 135 degrees. Like, that's Death Valley stuff, right? Or worse.
Yeah, it is. It's Death Valley. Death Valley, the hottest temperature ever in the United States history is 134 degrees. So when we say the heat index is 134, it is not. It's 94, 95 degrees, and extremely humid outside.
Right. Okay, so I only have one word for this. I mean, this is nothing but media fear-mongering, isn't it?
No. I mean, some people just do it blindly. That's a whole topic I'm not sure I want to go into. Of course, you'd love me to.
But why, you know, why would they go 6 minutes without telling people what the real high temperature was?
I saw a weathercast, Kevin, that I forget what, it might have been on a channel here or a national channel, but it showed 120 degrees in Kansas City and 120 degrees somewhere else. And it's like they combined temperatures and heat index. It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's talking about fear-mongering in Los Angeles, where they just had the tropical storm, the hurricane, the remnant come through there. It was significant. There's flooding. What's amazing is they had a very wet winter. They had flooding during the winter. It's just like one of their winter storms. They had flooding. Okay. But I saw a meteorologist, and it was not on anywhere in Kansas City, so you know. But I saw this person say, you have to be careful because in Los Angeles, when the water's flowing down the road, don't walk through it because there might be scorpions in the water.
Oh, God.
Scorpions? The same meteorologist then said, hey, you might need to build an ark. I mean, like Noah's Ark. He was serious.
Oh, my God. So are these climate freaks? Are they trying to push an agenda? What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. All I know is that it drives me crazy because I prided myself on my entire career to just tell the truth, bring you the best weather information, entertain you, educate you, and you walk away with a feeling I'm going to be right. All right. So that's what I battle against when you have other people out there saying these things that just are fear-mongering. I don't know, I guess.
I did a thing about 2 weeks ago. The record summer heat was all over the news. You know, I mean, it was everywhere. And I looked up Kansas City and saw a story. And for the month of July, we were 1.5 degrees on average for the month below normal with high temperatures. And they were talking about extreme heat and the craziest summer ever. And so there's only two things this can be. This can be people in media who really don't know what they're doing and they're just sensationalists. They want to, they, you know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of thing. Or they're pushing some sort of a climate justice or whatever you want. Because now they're tying social justice to climate change. I don't even know how you do that. Or you know, white privilege to climate change. I don't get any of that stuff. I don't understand the whole climate thing. I've lived here my whole life. And I don't see a difference. We have hot years, we have cold years, we have wet years, we have dry years. And from everything I've ever looked up, the averages sort of average out.
Well, just use this hurricane, for example. It's like Los Angeles, Southern California, San Diego just got impacted by a tropical storm. They actually did. Well, only two other times in history has that really happened. 1939, okay, 1939 and 1858. In 1858, what would they have called it? That was before the Industrial Revolution. And here are the facts on climate change, just so you know. The Earth has warmed up 1.2 degrees Celsius in the last 100 years. 1 to 2 degrees Fahrenheit. All right, back in the 1990s and 80s, there were a lot of scientists that said it was going to warm up 5 degrees by 2030. Well, it's almost 2030. We have not warmed up 5 degrees. Those models were wrong. The impacts are there. The Earth may be warming up, and the Earth, this may be caused by man. Okay, that's not 100% certain, but the carbon dioxide increase does coincide with this 1 to 2 degree warming. But just remember, Kevin, it's warmed up 1 to 2 degrees.
Am I wrong? Was the Grand Canyon carved by ice?
You know what? I don't know. Probably.
Well, glaciers. Glaciers came ripping through.
The Grand Canyon was carved out by the Colorado River.
Okay? Right. Which came, was at one point, this whole thing was ice.
Yeah.
It's called the Ice Age.
Right.
And it got warmer without man.
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around human beings. To think that we can change the climate on this planet, there's a lot of hubris in that and a lot of ego.
That's a whole other story. I think, you have to be careful about what you think you can change. You know, I saw this story about this guy who thinks he can zoom microwaves into a hurricane and zap it and kill it, okay? So let's say you zoom microwaves into a hurricane over the Atlantic Ocean and it kills it. And then in response, a brand new hurricane forms right over the Gulf and becomes a massive hurricane because of what he did. So you don't want to fool with what can happen naturally. You know, I don't know if we can have any impact on it. I think that over a very long time, there's a possibility. But going green only benefits everyone. But you have to do it without bankrupting the world.
That's
right.
That's exactly right. And if we get to a point
over 50 years, 100 years.
If we get to a point where electric cars are better than gas, great. Everybody will have one. The consumer will want it when they're cheaper, more efficient, better for the environment, and all those things. At this point, it takes so much coal to make electricity, to make the cars go, it's a zero-sum game. It isn't any different than oil coming out of the ground. We're burning coal to fuel the cars.
Yeah. It may take 20, 30, 40, 50 more years. You have to do it gradually. It benefits the world to be clean and green.
Agreed. We all want that. Everybody wants a beautiful, clean, pristine environment. We all want that. And right. I think we largely solved one thing that I remember as a kid, and you probably remember this too. You know, there's a big push when I was little about littering. My parents used to just litter all the time. It's just what you did. You just threw crap out the window and whatever. nobody cared. And we got serious about it. And we've cleaned up a lot with litter and trash. We do way better on this than ever before. That's a positive for everyone. I think we can all see that. If nothing else, if you're not really, don't even really care, just from the aesthetic beauty of where you live and not seeing stuff blowing around and whatever. So
no doubt about it. Yeah. Do it over a natural long period of time that doesn't bankrupt the country, you know?
I just flat don't know anybody that's against trying to make the environment better. I do. I know a lot of people that simply believe it's a total hoax that we can fix the weather or change it.
Right.
I'll say this. We just had wildfires in Maui. And ABC News did a story that said it was not caused by climate change. Then the climate change freaks got all over ABC News, and they changed their headline to, it was not completely caused by climate change. As if to say, anything that goes bad sort of has some bit of climate change, but correct me again if I'm wrong. Wasn't Maui at one point hot lava?
Yes, and it was also a disaster. That's okay. Just an absolute disaster.
It was, but we didn't do that. We didn't make the hot lava. We didn't create Hawaii. I don't have the explanation for everything's done. I'm a believer. I believe in God and miracles and all these different things. But when I know the Grand Canyon was carved with ice and Maui was made by lava, I can't believe that we can change these things.
Well, whether we can or not, it has to be a long process. But you know, there's a lot of questions. You know, the truth is the Earth's warmed up 1 to 2 degrees. It's warming up slowly, and a warmer climate will lead to possibly some stronger storm systems. But every storm isn't necessarily because of any of the warming. I mean, back in 1858, Southern California got hit by a hurricane. So there you go. Mm.
I'm really disappointed in the way they've handled this in Kansas City. We miss you. We miss your common sense. And you know what? Mike Thompson, too, for that matter. He's been a longtime friend of mine. We worked together for many years, and he's kind of the same way. And I thought it was getting better, that we were going to get to a point where there's not so much alarmist stuff. But, man, you veterans are gone from the local scene. And I'm not a get-off-my-lawn guy. These are all young anchors, meteorologists. I assume that the producers producing these broadcasts now are very young. They've all been taught one thing in college. They're following the script, and they're trying to scare the hell out of people, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're purposely trying to scare the hell out of people, but it does seem like that. That's why I hardly ever watch the news anymore. I mean, since I moved to Colorado, I hardly watch the news, and it's been a little healthier, let me just tell you.
Well, and there's so many different places to go look. You can find different predictions for weather. I used to have an app on my phone, and I hated it, and I looked it up here this week to see what it was doing. It's calling for 109 degrees on Wednesday.
Well, right, that's what one model has.
It's not going to be 109. This just in, it will not be 109. I'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah, well, what's going to happen tomorrow and Thursday? I mean, today and Thursday, what's going to happen the next 2 days, we're going to see a west-southwest wind shift, so it's going to heat it up a little bit. So hitting 100 degrees or 101 or 102, and then maybe 104, 105 in a few spots is certainly in the realm of possibility over the next couple of days. But golly, I hate summer. Let's get rid of this crap.
Oh, well, I like summer, and I like the pool, and I don't mind the heat. It doesn't really bother me that bad. You have to be careful with it, but whatever. Have we even hit 100 at KCI this year?
I do believe it's hit 100 one time.
Really?
I think so. I'll have to go check. I can go check right now, but I'll worry about
it. I live in Lenexa. I think it did in some parts of the city, but I'm not sure KCI ever got there.
If not, but it likely will in the next 2 days.
Well, there you go. Well, we better stop the presses and park our cars and never drive them again, because it's going to be 100 in Kansas City.
Heat index is going to be 120. And here's another lie we tell
people. God. Okay?
I've been telling a lie to people my whole career on this one thing. Okay, that we tell you that the temperature is 95 degrees. It is not. It's 95 degrees in a little white box that's shaded that is a official weather station that it tells you the shade temperature. If it is sunny and you're out at Arrowhead Stadium and it's 95 degrees, it'll be 108 in the sun. The actual temperature will be 108 when we tell you it's 95 degrees outside. No, in the shade in the little box of 95, when I'm sitting out in my seat, it's 108. That is the truth. The temperature is 10 to 15 degrees warmer in the sun. That's why when it's 18 degrees outside, sometimes you see the snow start melting. Like, how is it melting? It's 18 degrees. That's 14 degrees below freezing. Yeah. It's because it's actually warmer than that.
Well, that's all stuff we can feel on our skin. You can feel that. Yeah. We all know being in the sun is certainly hotter than being in the shade. And you can't really take a proper
temperature.
Yeah, you can't hardly take an air temperature in the sun, though, because don't the thermometers just get fried by the sun and distort it?
No, they take a sun temperature. It'll be hotter.
I know, but that's not very accurate. That's why they don't do it that way, right?
What do you mean it's not very accurate?
Well, what happens when it goes behind a cloud?
It drops 15 degrees.
I know, and then it comes right back out 6 minutes later. That's absurd.
So you're trying to tell me, here's what actually happens when a cumulus cloud goes over you. It's 106. The cumulus cloud goes over you, it drops to 91, and you feel the cooler air, and then it goes back up to 106. What do you mean? Of course that happens.
What? I don't know that I feel cooler air. There's just the absence of the sun baking me.
Yeah. The sun doesn't bake you. The cloud comes over you. You feel good because the temperature actually dropped 15 degrees. What do you mean it didn't actually happen? It's not the actual temperature.
Oh, my. This is just insane.
That one.
All right, let's talk about what you do at Weather 2020. This is really interesting. Congratulations on your outstanding career as a meteorologist in Kansas City, and everybody loves you and still loves you. I would love for you to move back to District 3 in Kansas and run for Congress. I would vote for you. I would fundraise for you. I would knock door to door for you. If you come back, you could win and bring some common sense to this district that is much needed. I would love if you did that, but I know you're not going to do that. You're happy in Colorado running your business. Weather 2020 is basically what? Long-term forecasting for companies and industries?
Yes, LRC was named by the bloggers in Kansas City, the Leadback Recurring Cycle. It's my theory of the weather pattern that's cycling. Here's how we're going to benefit the world and the businesses, okay? We have data. Imagine being accurate 60% at 100 days out. Okay, that 10-day forecast or 7-day forecast you see in your app is not often accurate. It's wrong a lot. The 100-day forecast from Weather 2020 are 60% accurate or better. And so businesses will now add the data analytics into their analytics to make supply, demand, staffing decisions that will impact businesses. I have one business that's generating 3 to 7%. Of their $4 billion business or $120 million a year. So when businesses start using the Weather 2020 LRC forward-looking data, long-range forecast data for temperatures, for precipitation, for humidity to decide what the soil temperatures are, et cetera, and it's accurate enough, they can make these decisions long into the future. So we're going to help businesses generate revenue and we're going to save lives through advanced warning. This hurricane that just blasted into Mexico and weakened and produced the rain in Southern California is directly related to a tornado, a part of the pattern that produced a tornado. Did you know this? Remember, it's a 50-day cycle. 150 days before this hurricane, a tornado struck Los Angeles at EF1. It looked like a Kansas tornado, all right? It had debris flowing into the air. It was March 22nd. Right then and there, what we do with Weather 2020, another meteorologist will say, what is the chance of a hurricane hitting Los Angeles, around a tropical system hitting Los Angeles around August the 20th? Well, the chance is probably 0.01%, so near zero chance of that happening. This year, because the tornado struck and the pattern that had set up and I analyzed, and my model shows, I'll tell you about that in a second, but what it does, it shows there's a 500 times chance, what another meteorologist will tell you. What's 500 times 0.01? It's only 5%. 5% chance of a tropical system coming in. But that's what we tell you. There is an increased chance this year. Mm. And so it's absolutely fascinating, and that's what I'm doing. I've got a patent-pending model. Businesses are starting to use it around the world. And it's my life's purpose to get this out to the world, and we're going to get it done.
That is awesome. So I have one thing in the environment that I'm paying careful attention to. You know that I love the desert Southwest, and I like playing golf there, and I don't want to feel guilty because I know they throw water on those courses, and water can be scarce. Lake Mead is the big driver to the Southwest. It is up 22 feet this year over last because of the snow melt. Massive snows all last winter have melted. They just got a pile of rain. It's going to climb 2 more feet. They don't report on the fact that Lake Mead is up 24 feet from a year ago. They only like to report when it's down and we're desperate and whatever. That's true. They don't. It's hard to find stories about this, but the water level is climbing, and I'd love to see it get back up to a full basin for the entire desert Southwest because a lot of farmers, agriculture, and people need that. I think it is more so than drought, although it's been dry for a number of years in the Southwest. You have to sort of expect that in the desert Southwest. I think it's overuse. I think too many people are using too much water. I think we need to conserve, and they need to know that there. But we've got a reprieve here. What will this winter look like? Are we going to get a pile of snow this winter that will help that lake again?
Well, a couple things. First of all, last October and November when the LRC set up, our model predicted 760% of average, 760,000% of average precipitation over the Southern California area during this stretch of the weather. So it predicted the tropical system, okay? But for the winter, it predicted 200 to 600% of average rainfall. So I don't know until October or November. This is one limiting factor of the LRC. We're working on trying to have farther advanced predictions. But in October or November, the pattern will set up, and I will let you know. Now, a good chance it's wetter than average this year again. All right, maybe not as cold for as much snow in the mountains, but but a good chance, because El Nino, the warming of the tropical Pacific Ocean, is happening, and it is going to be an El Nino winter. In El Nino winters, there's an increased probability that California will be wet. So Lake Mead could have another wet season for the snow melt, etc. But I won't know for sure until October and November when the pattern sets up, because some El Ninos are dry. Now, when I was growing up as a kid in 1978, 1979, 1980, we had two winters in a row that were extremely wet. It was so exciting as a 16-year-old kid back then. All right, so this
in LA,
is 1 year.
This was in the LA area, right?
Yeah, in the LA area.
Okay.
These wet patterns do tend to have back-to-back years. So I'm just going to say right now, an increased chance it's wet, but you need to come back to me. Let's talk in late November, December, when I issue the winter forecast. Then I can let you know. You can learn more about it. I got a product. It's called weather2020.substack.com. It's less than a dollar a day if you want to join, $300 a year. But you get all my insights, and I'll take you through as this whole pattern develops.
All right. So I'm a simpleton. You know this about me. It seems to me it's been dry out west for a number of years, and they've been complaining about the drought or whatever. And now they're complaining about flooding, because now for over a year it's been very, very wet in all these places. The simpleton in me tells me that, okay, we had several years where it was drier than normal. We're about to have most years where it's wetter than normal, because this stuff always averages out. Am I crazy?
Well, no, you're not crazy with your little Keatsman theory there, but let me just tell you that, maybe a couple years are wetter, but very rarely do they have multiple years in a row. Besides, just two in a row do happen quite often.
Right, but could it go like seven? What if it went 7 out of 11? Lake Mead would be full.
Yes. I mean, it probably would be if it goes up 22 feet in 1 year. Now, last year was absolutely insane with how much snow fell in Mammoth Mountain above Lake Mead and towards Lake Tahoe. It was crazy, crazy snow. So it probably won't be that much. But yeah, if you have 7 out of 10 wet years, it likely would begin to fill up.
So here's another thing that bothers me. They overflowed some of the dams in California. They went right over the top and flooded some areas because they refused to build more dams and reservoirs in California to capture the water. It all just runs into the sea. So for a state that needs water, they don't want to build things because they think it's bad for the environment. Why can't the state of California build 3 or 4 more dams and reservoirs? There's plenty of areas that they could do that and really help with water out there, and they refuse to capture it. They just let it run off.
Right. Well, this past year would have been a huge benefit, because 5-6 years ago, in 2017, 2018, I wrote a paper called The Cycling Patterns of the Northern Hemisphere that was published. And I talked about a La Nina winter. Everyone thought it was going to be dry. And the LRC set up. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be wet. And it was the second wettest year they ever had out there. That was like 2017. Just, that happened recently. And then the next year, or maybe it was 2016. The next year, it was extremely wet when it was supposed, when everyone thought, excuse me, it was extremely dry when everyone thought it was going to be wet. So, yes, they've already had many years to start developing the process that you say to collect and save some of that water, but I'm sure there's plans to do that, Kevin.
There's not. They don't want to do it. They don't want to hurt the environment. I'm like, how does it hurt the environment if you build lakes? That seems like a good thing to build, is lakes.
Los Angeles to Phoenix to Las Vegas is going to need water, so Lake Mead is important.
They are. They never anticipated. They built that dam in the 1930s. It's almost 100 years old. They never anticipated this many people would live in the Southwest. Let's have some fun, buddy. You want to talk a little football?
Yeah, sure.
What about the Chiefs this year? I know you think they're going to win every game 55-0, but let's get to real.
No, that's Mike Thompson. Mike Thompson thought that.
You did that too.
He'd come on the air. Mike would go, hey, here's our forecast for the Chiefs.
You did it with me on radio. You don't remember saying that the Chiefs were going to win by these huge margins?
And I didn't do that.
Oklahoma 47-3 over Texas, things like that?
Well, I might have done that with Oklahoma, Texas, because I hate Texas so much, but I think you're mixing me up with Mike Thompson. It's scary.
I'm not. I never had Mike Thompson on.
Oh, my gosh.
You were my only radio guy, buddy.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's true, but I might have said that's what he predicted.
Okay. All right.
So, I think the Chiefs, there's something to watch closely is like, how good is their defense going to be? I mean, Willie Gay Jr. and Bolton and these these guys are maturing, getting better and better and better, and they're already, you know, Bolton really had two returns for touchdowns in the Super Bowl, if you really think about it. But and these guys are good. Chris Jones and the whole team. What if the Chiefs' defense really becomes a top five, top three defense? It very well may. How good are they going to be if their defense is that strong? So that's what I'm sensing. They're finally going to have one of the top five defenses in the league, maybe, with Patrick Mahomes and company. I mean, that's a combination where you're not going to lose many games. So, you know, I'm still analyzing.
They're one of the top sack teams last year, so I'm with you on the defense. Here's the only issue I have. The Chiefs could have a top five defense, but it would be ranked 14th. Because when you're up 28-13 with 7 minutes to go, you always give up another 120 yards and a touchdown.
That's true.
That's just what you do. Yeah. So I think it's hard for the Chiefs to stat out because they have so many leads. The flip side of that was the Jets last year. They couldn't score. Their defense played great all year. They knew they couldn't score, so they just tried to run clock, shorten the game. Their defensive stats were off the chart. If they score more with Aaron Rodgers this year, I promise you the Jets' defensive rankings will go down. If they're leading 24-10 in the fourth quarter, the Jets are going to give up 100 yards and some garbage touchdowns, which is going to hurt their numbers. I think the Chiefs, you're right, they could have a really good defense, but they may not stat out that high.
Well, look what happened with the Eagles last year against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs' offensive line held. They didn't have holding, but let me just tell you, they played lights out because maybe Philadelphia was a little overrated on their defense, just a little.
All right, 17-game schedule, hardest schedule anybody in the NFL has ever seen. The Chiefs, this is insane what they have this year. How many games did they win?
14.
14-3. Okay, good. All right, let's go to the Oklahoma Sooners. Your alma mater here is going to the SEC. This is the last go-round. You know, when you can't beat Kansas State, you probably ought to go to another league. So I understand that Oklahoma wants to put its tail between its legs and leave. I get that. Are you happy they're leaving?
No, I'm sad. I'm sad they're leaving. I mean, I like traditional Big 8, you know, Big 12. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I think Oklahoma, Texas, it's going to be a problem. The Southeast Conference is just very good, but, you know, recruit and see what happens. But I don't know. Are we going to have a 12-team playoff in college football sometime soon?
Yeah, we definitely are. It's already passed. So, yes. Are you concerned that Oklahoma will never be the same?
I do have that concern. I do.
That's honest.
Look what's happening in Nebraska.
Right.
Are they ever going to be the same?
Is Missouri ever going to play for a league? Colorado came back.
I know. Missouri, it depends on your head coach, okay? Your head coach is extremely important. You know, recruiting. So how can Oklahoma in Oklahoma City recruit against Alabama? You should be able to do it. You should be able to do it, especially with Texas, Oklahoma, and Midwest players. So we'll see how good their head coach is.
I'm terrible. I don't even know if K-State and Oklahoma play this year. Do we even play this year? Do we know this? Have you looked this up?
Oh, my God.
Let me look it up. If we do, you want to have a bet if I find this?
Well, K-State's probably going to beat Oklahoma again.
Well, I don't know why you'd say that. I don't see them on the schedule. They don't play this year.
Okay.
We're not playing. We're at Texas. We got a tough schedule now. At Texas Tech, they're going to be better. At Missouri, at Oklahoma State. Look at that schedule K-State's playing this year. At Kansas, holy smokes, how's K-State going to win anything?
Here we go. It's football.
You love it, though. You watch a lot of football, don't you?
Oh, I'm just an NFL freak. I'm a huge, huge – I'm not a super fan of the Chiefs in some respects because I don't, like, wear all the gear and look like a freak. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to miss that 1 second of any game during the regular season.
How will it change how you watch football this year now that you're not on TV?
I didn't even think about that. I get to watch every single game. It's just going to be crazy. I'm sure it'll wear me out. You know, I'm glad the Chiefs are in a lot of these primetime games. But, you know, I probably have to get the package because the Broncos, I'm in Bronco territory. Yep. These people, it's weird here. It's like they are fans of the Broncos, but it's not like a mania like Kansas City is. We are much, 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 much better fans than Bronco fans are. No. I drive by that stadium here. I've driven by a few times, and it makes gets me disgusted. And I can't wait to go to watch Chiefs beat the Broncos for the 16th time and the 17th time this year.
Well, I think if we went back 10 years, you'd find that the Bronco fans were crazier than Chiefs fans.
Yeah, probably true.
Probably true.
No, wait a second. Maybe not crazier than the Chiefs fan, but they were probably crazier.
Boy, I don't know. All right, last question. You live in Golden, Colorado, 10 minutes from the brewery. What is your favorite beer, Coors, of Golden, Colorado beers? Coors Banquet or Coors Light?
I want Tito's Martini straight up with two olives. That's all I want.
Vodka Martini?
Vodka Martini. Give me a couple of martinis and I'm good to go.
Which vodka?
And then maybe a beer to follow up. I don't know.
Which vodka?
Tito's, Grey Goose, you know, Belvedere, all of the above.
With two olives?
Two olives. Do you they like give me stuff?
Do you like a dirty martini? Jessica likes that. What is that? No, is that pickle juice?
Why? You shake, you pour the vodka in, you shake, pour, and drink.
That's it, with two olives.
Yeah.
And so when she has a dirty martini, what is that? Is that a juice from the olive jar or is that pickle juice?
That's where you put a little vermouth in. You've got some olive juice. And it's like, I just like it straight up.
Have you? I got what's a buddy. I'm just calling him out. I've got a buddy. I swear to God, 10 yeah. years ago, he ordered an apple teeny. What the hell is that?
That's right.
Is that
an
something?
An apple teeny.
Yeah.
I've had pickle teeny.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Put a couple pickles in there. It's still good.
You are living your best life, brother. I'm so happy and happy for you and proud to know you and be your friend. And I can't thank you enough for setting this all straight for us today.
Well, hey, thanks a lot. And once again, if you're just joining the end, of course, you can go back on the podcast. I love Kevin's podcast. You can literally go back and forth. People send me, hey, you got to listen to minute 26. So I go listen to your podcast. It's funny. And so, but you're on demand podcast. But I love it. Thanks a lot. And remember, 134 degree heat index, 120 degree heat index. No, it's just 95 and extremely humid. And I love the humidity.
I love that. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Have a good day.
All right. There's my friend Gary Lezak. What a true treat he is and just such a fun, optimistic guy. And we appreciate him coming on and having some fun with us today on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, which was brought to you by Back 9 Development. Online at back9development.com. If you're looking to build, whether it's a commercial property, apartment buildings, condos, investment properties, or your dream home, your custom dream home, Back 9 Development would love to meet with you just to see if you match up. TJ will come personally and meet with you or visit a site if you have some land picked out. And I think you're going to find that he and his team give a personal touch that a lot of other builders and developers simply don't. Call TJ at 785-236-0161. This is an energetic, awesome team that would love to build anywhere in the Kansas City metropolitan area, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, back9development.com. Amazing garage floors. Of course, if you do build, you're going to want to put an amazing garage floor in, and I'm sure that Hutch will work right along with Back 9 to put that thing in for you. It's time. I don't know what you've been waiting for. This fall is the perfect time to have your garage floor done, or to treat your concrete ahead of the winter storms that are coming and all the salt and sand that follow at the edge of your driveway. Call Amazing Garage Floors and set up a no-obligation appointment. 913-901-7139. There is nothing like an amazing garage floor from AmazingGarageFloors.net. And, of course, Mike Lindell and our friends at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. You know all the great specials they have, and you know the products that they have. When it's time for you to get new sheets, maybe a robe, some slippers, or a gift this fall, as you're starting to think about the holiday season, my mom always starts Christmas shopping in August. If you're starting to think like that, big discounts right now at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code KKHI. It is the maximum promo code. There is no other promo code that saves you more money. It is the maximum discount on every single item at either MyPillow.com or MyStore.com. Please remember to use that promo code KKHI. All right. Later today, we'll be doing a patron podcast for the patrons that are out there on some of the goings on. Then on Thursday, we're going to have Stan Weber previewing the Chiefs and the Browns coming up at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday. And we will also have a little reaction from the debate that takes place on Wednesday night. So all that is ahead. Should be fun on tomorrow's edition of KKHI. I thank you for being here today. It is my privilege and honor to have you hitting that play button. It's amazing you do. Can't thank you enough. Really appreciate it if you hit the subscribe, follow, or like button. Maybe do a review of the podcast if you like it. That always helps as well. Tell a friend about it. See if we can't expand the audience and make a difference by November of 24 when those big elections roll around. Always, always, always a heartfelt thank you for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.